The El Conservador Radio Show is sponsored by the Federation for American Immigration Reform and George Rodriguez on 930 AM, The Answer. Time for the El Conservador Radio Show with George Rodriguez. George is a constitutional conservative who loves to expose fake news and liberals. Be a part of the show. Call 210-308-8867. And now, El Conservador, George Rodriguez.
Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio, deep in the heart of South Texas. Welcome to the show, my friends, on this beautiful Saturday, April 13th, 2024. Welcome, my friends. We've got a great show, as usual, for you. Let me tell you who the lineup is. But first, let me thank our sponsor, FAIR, the Federation for American Immigration Reform. Anything that you want to know about what is going on with the border crisis, both at the border as well as in Washington, D.C., with the politics, go to FAIR, the Federation for American Immigration Reform, FAIRUS.org. I encourage you to do that and support FAIR, my friends. All right, so let me tell you who our guests are today, and then we'll jump into the show. First of all, our first guest is Dr. Jeffrey Atticott. Dr. Atticott is with the Warrior Defense Project at St. Mary's University. He is an expert in terrorism. He's going to be talking to us about the open border and the terrorist threat. We've been hearing a lot from the FBI. You're going to hear from Dr. Atticott about it. Then we've got my good friend, former Congressman Francisco Kiko Canseco. He's going to be talking to us about the politics in Laredo, Texas, why Laredo is not as busy of an immigration, an illegal immigration entry point like the other places. It's very, very interesting what's going on in Laredo. So you're going to want to hear from him. Our next guest is another dear friend, Mr. Rodney Scott. He is the former National Border Patrol Chief. He's going to be telling us about the temperament, the situation with the Border Patrol agents at the border right now, what is going on, and what they are trying to do with the limited authority that they are given by the Biden administration. Our final guest is Mark Morgan, another dear friend of mine, who is the former Customs and Border Protection Commissioner. He's going to be telling us about what is going on with regards to immigration, picking up illegal alien criminals. You're going to want to hear what he's got to say. So, without further ado, let's go to our first guest. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. And we've got our good friend, Dr. Jeffrey Atticott, who is an expert, bar none, on the issue of terrorism. He is a professor right here in our backyard at St. Mary's University. And I wanted to get him on because, we've got, because of the open border, we've got several problems. We've got Chinese coming across. We've got at least 800 terrorists, people that are on the terrorist list that have been caught over the past 3 years. And now we have a very, very active militant Hamas, pro-Hamas organization or protesters going on, even in Dearborn, Michigan. Somebody chanting death to America. Incredible. Dr. Atticott, thank you very much for joining us today. Welcome to the show.
Oh, my pleasure, George.
Give us your thoughts. What are we looking at right now here in the U.S.? How dangerous is this situation that we're looking at?
Well, it's, you know, it basically boils down to radical Islamic extremism. You know, I wrote a book several years ago called Radical Islam Why, which is really underpinning all of these things. So, you know, October the 7th occurred, and, you know, you got to ask yourself the question, why? Was it really about the land? Is it about occupation? No, it's not really about the land, the occupation. This is a religious jihad. The name of the operation, here in the United States, we have military operations. We like to give them names, like Operation Desert Storm or Operation Desert Shield or whatever it is, kind of projecting what, you know, what our purpose is. You know, the name of the operation that Hamas gave on October the 7th, most people have forgotten this, or have never remembered it. It was called the Al-Aqsa flood. And that refers to the mosque on the Dome of the Rock area, which is the where the third temple, where the second temple rather stood. And that's one of the most holy spots in the third holy spot in Islam, the Al-Aqsa Mosque. And so the Al-Aqsa flood indicated that, you know, that's what they're looking at. They're looking at a religious war to kill all of the Israelis, drive them off, and, you know, kick them forever out of Jerusalem and the rest of the area. It's not really about the land, because if it's about the land, you can solve that problem, particularly since Gaza, there were no Israelis in Gaza. And on the back door of Gaza is a country called Egypt, and there are more Palestinians in Jordan than there are in the West Bank. So it's not about the land. This is about a religious jihad, a religious motivated, which I call radical Islam, and there are radical Islamists, and they're so dedicated to the cause that they will kill themselves. And we've seen that time and time again, that thousands of these individuals have blown themselves up, both in Israel, both in operations that we've seen in Iraq and Syria. They're fanatics, and those fanatics are here in our country as well. Make no mistake about it. Their goal is to conquer the world, as all fanatics do in these types of movements. They want to conquer the world. I don't, you know, rational people will say, no, you can't do it, but they're not rational. Anyone that will blow themselves up, you're not dealing with a rational person. You really can't reason with them. And religion is a very dangerous motivator, and that's what motivates this stuff. So, you know, before you can win a battle or a war, you've got to identify the enemy and think like the enemy. So when you're trying to say, well, they really just want, you know, the occupied lands, whatever that means, they just want a homeland, they want another state. No, that's not what they want. And then if you read their charter, they'll tell you what they want. We want to obliterate Israel off the face of the earth, which means to kill, as they did on October the 7th, to kill women, children, men, anybody. They want to kill you. I've been to Guantanamo Bay, you know, and if you sit down there, I've talked to the interrogators, and, you know, you ask one of these radical Islamic extremists, you know, what do you want? As a lawyer, we like to negotiate. Would you like some land? Would you like this? Would you like that? Their answer is, I want to kill you. That really doesn't leave you with a counteroffer when you're negotiating when someone wants to kill you.
Yeah, it is. If they are that fanatical, politics is not the the issue.
No.
It is a situation where you're dealing with somebody irrational. Now, being that the case, if somebody claims they support them, by definition, you got to be suspicious of them too.
Yeah, so when people in our country chant death to America, which is the chant that the Iranians and people that are radical Islamic extremists do all the time, you live in America and death to America. So what is so bad about America that you want to, you know, kill Americans? Because that's what the chant means in English, death to America. I want to kill people in this country. That raises a lot of red flags on many levels, but there are Islamists, radical Islamic extremists that are in this country. I mean, we've seen them murder Americans right here in Texas in Fort Hood. Not too many years ago, we had a medical doctor in the Army jumped up on a table and start killing people, screaming the same thing they always scream, on behalf of God, I've got to kill you. So across our border right now, we have an open border, as you've been alerting all of us for years. And I always say it's about as secure, when the Biden administration says it's secure, it's about as secure as a screen door on a submarine. That's how secure it is. And the Biden administration, the facts and the numbers don't lie. Millions and billions of people have come in here unvetted. The vetting is childish, what's carried on right now. It basically, there's no vetting, because what are you going to check the background against? In Venezuela, for example, there's nothing to check them against. There is no background checks. And you can forge any type of document you want very easily, particularly for the Chinese communists that are coming across the border by the thousands. China is not letting you out of China without a reason. You either got to buy your way out, which means you're extremely wealthy, or they're sending people over here to do untoward things. So we've got a two-front issue here. One, radical Islamic extremists, and the other is the Chinese. Our FBI director seems to think that the greatest threat is posed by the Chinese in his testimony this week before the Congress. I tend to think that that's true, but I also we can't ignore the threat of radical Islamic extremists. They're not going to be able to do as much damage as the Chinese, because the Chinese can hack into our infrastructure, and that's what they mean to do. They're buying up farmland around military installations. They are enemies. They're an adversary. They're not someone that's, that we're in competition with. They want to take us over. They want to take us down. And that's what this, the FBI director was saying. And he is no, he's no conservative, but he's recognizing the truth, at least in this regard. But across the border are coming a lot of radical Islamic extremists. There's no question in my mind. Almost 200 people on the terror watch list have been arrested or apprehended. And probably five times that many have not been apprehended, because you're on the terror watch list. You're not going to turn yourself in. You're going to cross the border at points where you cannot be, apprehended. And that number is also in the millions. So it's a very dangerous situation. No one can predict the future, but it doesn't take a rocket scientist to add up this math problem. We have a national security threat. We have many people that chant debt to America in their minds, if not verbally, debt to Israel, and they're here in this country. They're coming across the border, and again, with our withdrawal from Afghanistan, I'm going very long, with our withdrawal from Afghanistan, we have radical Islamic extremists setting up their training camps in Afghanistan. And right now, I can tell you, they are plotting a major attack on the United States homeland. There is no question about it. They tell us they're going to do it. Just like before 9/11, they told us they were going to do it. And people, they don't really mean that. We can negotiate. It's not really true. Yes, it's really true. It is coming.
Wow. It is really. So what can we do as Americans to prepare for such an event, other than just watch and pray?
Well, again, point one, it's the responsibility of the federal government to protect America. That's your number one responsibility in the Constitution. Provide for the common defense. And the other thing is promote the general welfare. I always tell my students, it doesn't say provide for the general welfare. That's communism. It's promote the general welfare, which is capitalism. But let's go back to the first one. Provide for the common defense is their first obligation. The Biden administration, by any measure, has not done that. And therefore, it's incumbent upon states to take it upon themselves to do what they can. And that's what Texas has done. They have done more to try to protect America than the entire Biden administration put together. And they're doing it under great pressure. They're being sued by the Biden administration. They're being blocked at every turn. Why? Because they're trying to do the job of the federal government, and Texas does have a responsibility to protect Texans. This is a co-responsibility, in my opinion. The Supreme Court's going to rule on this, but obviously each state has the right and the obligation, rather, to protect people within their state. And when you see an invasion of millions of people coming in to Texas, the governor has made the correct call by declaring this an emergency, and he is doing what the federal government should be doing, but they won't do. We can talk about why they won't do it, but the fact is they're not doing it. And therefore, so the short-term solution, we have to do what we can. We have to do the see something, say something by our citizens. If you see something untoward, alert local law enforcement. But, states have no choice but to take it upon themselves to protect their borders. And that's what Texas is doing. And other, states that have, I guess most of them are Republicans, but other states that are governed by Republican governors, they're also pitching in by sending in, their National Guard to assist in the effort. I don't think any of the Democrat-run states are sending in National Guard. I don't know, but I know the vast majority are red states, as we say, that are recognizing the threat to the sovereignty of this nation and their own states.
Yeah. Dr. Jeffrey Atticutt, thank you very much for spending some time with us and giving and enlightening us about what is going on at the border, another aspect of it that is really, really something that we need to be aware of. I thank you very, very much for taking time to be with us today.
My pleasure, George.
Once again, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. And we've got our good friend, former Congressman Francisco Kiko Canseco, fellow Laredoan. And I wanted to reach out to him because one of the curious things that we have been seeing is a lot of information about what's going on, a lot of news about what's going on in Eagle Pass and Del Rio, and also, to a certain extent, what's happening with illegal immigration in Brownsville,
and recently a lot of stuff coming out of El Paso, but Laredo, which is the largest port of entry for the trucking industry, and the land port, the largest land port of entry for the United States, we hardly hear very much about. So I wanted to reach out to Kiko and see if he knows anything about what's going on. Kiko, thank you for taking time to be with us. Welcome to the show.
George, thank you very much for welcoming me on your show, and thank you to your audience. I'm happy to always be on your show and also talk about very, very important issues that not just affect our area here in Bexar County and also along the border, but in the nation. And I think we need, you so rightly said that Laredo is the largest land port in the nation. Demographically, you have this railroad, Kansas City Southern, that comes in directly from the port of Lázaro Cárdenas. And it's really the key from the Far East, with all those things that come in to Laredo and get packed up in trucks and moved on. A lot of trucks also come in from the interior of Mexico with loads coming in to deliver to a lot of companies and businesses. So it is by far the largest land port in the nation. And that plays a certain part in why Laredo is not being affected like Eagle Pass or Del Rio or places like El Paso and other places along the border with massive invasion of people coming in from all over the world to break our border and to destroy our sovereignty. So the question is, why? Well, there is a lot of talk out there, and I've heard it, that the reason is that the cartels don't want to abuse Laredo because it's an easy entrance of drugs hidden within a lot of that cargo. And in order to protect it, they're not going to push the invaders into the Laredo area. And I can't tell you that I know for a fact. All I can tell you is there isn't any massive invasion coming in through the Laredo Webb County area. There is no such thing. And yet it begs the question, why? And the reason is that the answer is that the drug lords have preserved that area for drug trafficking as opposed to human trafficking. And I've heard that from several people that are in the industry. Some of them are even in the import-export business. So it is something that we need to be very, very careful of. And I don't mean to destroy the international commerce that is so vital to our nation and to the economy of South Texas. But at the same time, we need to be extremely wary of that it indicates that there's something ill, something that is not correct that's happening in that area. It also raises the question of who made that deal? Is it just unilateral, or is it some tacit agreement that has taken place? And then the other question is, between whom?
Very good. It's been very, very interesting because obviously I follow everything that's going on at the border. And it's been very, very interesting that when it comes to human trafficking and car chases, et cetera, that happens at other ports. However, I see the Laredo Times, which is the biggest newspaper in Laredo, report about drug busts. I just don't see them reporting too much about illegal aliens being picked up or arrested. So it's been very, very interesting. Obviously they are keeping a low key. They, being the cartels, are keeping a low key so that they can um, continue to do their import-export business.
Well, you know, it's really a shame because whenever you have a good thing going, let's take, for instance, the internet. It was a great thing. But all of a sudden, it was invaded with a lot of viruses and a lot of ill-doers. And they've got the underground, I forgot what they call it, the dark web, and things like that. Well, just the same, you've got the number one land port in the nation that rivals any other land port in the world, with an enormous amount of commerce going in and out. And there has to be something to do with something nasty, something illicit, something nefarious that does go on.
Mm-hmm.
And then you wonder, why is it that you don't hear about that in the open? You have to hear it through what they call in Tex-Mex run, you know, the rumors that
yeah.
the rumors that that roam around there, and I keep hearing them. And a lot of these rumors come in from people that are in the import trade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and it's very telling.
It's been very, very interesting also when the governor or when President Trump, either one of them, when they've cracked down on doing careful inspections of trucks coming in into the U.S. In Laredo, the cry and screaming about the businesses has been, you know, from the economic vantage point, has been tremendous. You're right. I mean, how do you maintain the economic flow, the business aspects, when you're trying to, you know, choke out or at least find and try to stop the illicit drug trade that's using it as camouflage?
A catch 22.
Really?
Yeah. And no matter what, you're going to find somebody's squeal and cry for doing that. And it's a balance of how much illicit drugs are you going to allow to come through in order to benefit this spectacular influx and outflow of a very vital international trade. And you're going to have to accept the good and the bad. So long as it's below a certain minimal percentage, you're going to take it in with all that good. And people will close their eyes to it so that the dollars keep flowing and traffic keeps going. And those are realities. And I hate to say that, not that I approve of it, but those are the realities of what's going on.
That's true. That is very, very true. And unfortunately, again, like you said, we've got to understand that the reality of it, because you're never going to be able to choke off everything 100%, unless you do it at the expense of the economy. And that's, you know, that's not going to happen. It can't happen.
Right.
You know. So well, that's been. I mean, it's something that. I had suspected, but you certainly have brought light to what I was assuming was going on. Because, like we said at the very beginning of the show, so much activity is going on regarding illegal immigration at the other ports of entry, but we hear crickets from Laredo, and that's been very.
Well, George, let me add something to that, because I think something is very important. You can never completely eliminate all that bad stuff going through. But what you can do is make people in the communities and in the nation perfectly aware of it, so that you're able to trim it down substantially and keep the awareness up, which I think is more important than anything else. And what it does do, rather than regulating the amount of traffic that comes through, it quells the amount of illicit activity that goes through if everybody's aware of it and they express that they don't like it.
That's right. That's right. Self-policing.
And it can regulate itself.
Right. Self-policing is always the best remedy when you've got a problem. Exactly. I couldn't agree more. Kiko, thank you very, very much for taking time to be with us. Folks, we've been speaking with our good friend, former Congressman Kiko Canseco, and fellow Laredoan. Thank you very, very much for spending some time and shedding some light on this issue for us, my buddy.
All right, George. Thank you for having me on.
You got it. And we'll get you back on sometime soon to talk about another issue. All righty?
All right. Take care.
Once again, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio.
The Federation for American Immigration Reform, known as FAIR, fights to restore common sense border controls and immigration policies that work for America and its future. America's immigration system and border controls have been decimated by Washington politicians and special interests, undermining the interests and security of the American people. FAIR mobilizes grassroots activists to make sure the voices of the American people are heard in Washington. Find out more about FAIR and what we do by going to fairus.org.
Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. And we've got my good friend, Mr. Rodney Scott, who is a retired Border Patrol chief, National Border Patrol chief. I wanted to get him on to get his take on this latest comment by the White House. In fact, it came out on Tuesday, the April 9th. President Biden is considering what he can do independently to address the border crisis. I kind of held my breath when I heard that, and I wanted to get Rodney, welcome to the show. Give us your take on that.
Hey, George, thanks for having me on again. I was a little bit like you, kind of bit my tongue at first and just shook my head because I never like to talk smack about any president. I totally respect a position. But in this case, it's extremely disingenuous. As everybody knows, we've talked about it before, this president completely dismantled 27 years of bipartisan border security with the stroke of a pen. He knows that he could reestablish border security with the stroke of a pen. But specifically to the topic they're talking about now, they're really referring to the Immigration and Naturalization Act 212F provision, which allows or gives the president authority to prohibit the entry of classes or specific individual aliens if they're deemed to pose a threat to the United States. Just a little history lesson for all the listeners or all your viewers. That statutory provision of law was in the original INA back in the 1950s. This is nothing new. I personally, from the conversations I've had with a few people, believe the real debate behind the curtain in the White House is how, if they actually use this provision, how will it then be portrayed in another administration if it's more pro-border security, if you will. So basically, how are they going to go to court and sue the next, you know, conservative administration to prevent them from just closing the border if they try to use this legal authority that clearly exists? It's in black and white. It's in ink. It's been around for a long time. But, you know, anything on the border that involves actually protecting America immediately results in ACLU lawsuits and several other open border advocates suing the government. And a lot of those people, unfortunately, work in DHS in the White House now. So I think they're looking at what is their position in the future if they support the use of that provision of law now. Kind of puts them in a conundrum.
Now, let me ask you about another situation, and that is all of the news that we've been hearing regarding illegal alien crime. Everything from what has happened been happening in New York City to a murder that happened in Chicago last week. I mean, it's been happening all over the place. What can these folks do to address the issue of criminal aliens. Can local communities still call ICE to come pick them up?
So this is a significant issue, but I again remind people it's not new. It's just all of a sudden getting a lot more attention, and I'm actually glad it's getting attention. A lot of sanctuary jurisdictions around the country, to include the entire state of California under SB 54, are prohibited from actually calling ICE to deport pretty much just about anyone. And different jurisdictions, even a few in Texas, won't cooperate with ICE. But unfortunately, here's the catch. Even if they do call ICE now, if you go back to, again, we talked about destroying border security with the stroke of a pen, Secretary Mayorkas issued a very strict priorities memorandum to all of DHS, but specifically to ICE, on who they're supposed to take into custody and arrest. And most of the crimes we're talking about now, short of an actual murder conviction, by the way, not an allegation, or a rape conviction, not an allegation, or even charges, they don't meet the thresholds for this administration. So wow. They get released. And the worst thing, George, and we need to stop and think about this. I think people gloss over this and they're like, oh, well, Americans commit crime too. Yes, amen, they do, and we have provisions for that. However, every crime committed by an illegal alien is a preventable crime, whether it's the systematic shoplifting that is not really shoplifting, it's actually organized crime where they sell massive amounts of massive quantities of stolen goods online and other avenues, or whether it's the worst case scenario like Lincoln Riley, where someone is actually murdered by somebody that shouldn't be here. There's no part of society that's not touched today by illegal immigration and cross-border crime, even the fentanyl. But don't forget, unlike crime committed by U.S. citizens, every society has, you know, criminals in it. These are all preventable. All we have to do is secure the border and keep the people from getting into the United States to begin with. It's just silly that we're not taking that simple step.
It really is. I mean, you know, to say that we would have crime anyway, even though they are illegal aliens. Well, I mean, they're not supposed to be here to begin with.
Correct. And I use analogies probably a little too much, but I use a family analogy. You know, you have some teenage kids, and your kid may misbehave occasionally. He's still your kid. You're going to deal with that. But you're not going to allow like 15 or 20 of his closest misbehaving friends to be in your home. The first thing you're going to do is kick out the people that don't belong in your home that are a bad influence. It's the same thing here on a national level. You know, we need to deal with Americans first. We need to take care of Americans first. And we don't need to be adding to the problem by inviting the world's crime into the U.S. And of note, I recently saw a couple of different articles. It's hard to get real good statistics, but the crime rate in Venezuela is dropping. I heard the crime rate in El Salvador is dropping tremendously. People feel a lot more safer there. I wonder why.
I can't imagine why. Oh, my gosh. That is the irony of ironies. Well, let me ask you about this, because you were in California recently. I hear that there are some local officials that are beginning to complain about the illegal immigration into their state.
And as well as they should. Now, I spent please don't hold this against me. I'm not a Californian, but I spent a lot of my career in Southern California. That's where the Border Patrol had assigned me. And while the loudest, most obnoxious voices are the open border, pro-illegal alien, and if you're in, you know, San Francisco, even pro-narcotics voices, there's a lot of really rational, normal people there that just aren't getting a lot of attention. And then specifically to California, they watched a completely uncontrolled, chaotic border back in the 90s transition into a very stable, safe environment. They saw literally the environment itself, like the natural environment, come back. And they saw developments of homes, businesses, and communities. They saw people literally come out of their houses and talk to each other again, use parks, camp out along the border. And then now they're watching it completely get devastated again by massive illegal immigration. And unlike some of the other areas, Southern California is getting hit by systematic, coordinated Chinese smuggling. Not just the Chinese you see on TV, which are walking across and surrendering, but literally sophisticated, covert smuggling of Chinese into the United States by other Chinese that are trying to avoid law enforcement. That, there's no way you can convince me, is not a national security threat. And I think a lot of the people in California are starting to wake up to, you know, hey, this hijacking my emotions, trying to make me feel sorry for everybody that may be less fortunate than I am, has some serious negative consequences. And SB 54 has made that entire state a sanctuary state. So you have sheriffs that really want to work with the federal government, but it's legally impossible at the state level. They would literally be violating state law.
That's amazing. That is really, really amazing. I mean, a state that it goes against working with the federal government to stop illegal immigration. That's amazing. Let me ask you this one
last...
Hey,
George, just real quick, I want to point out, too, just so people understand, the Trump administration, and I'm not trying to be political, but the Trump administration was coming up with a plan or was looking at suing sanctuary cities and sanctuary states.
I remember.
To get rid of that. Yeah, but the Biden administration immediately shut all that off and basically just, you know, codifies that it's okay to tell the federal government, I don't agree with you, I'm not going to do it.
It's amazing. Let me ask you one last thing about the temperament right now of the Border Patrol agents themselves. We've heard that they've been demoralized for a while. And what's it like at this point still?
So I still talk to quite a few of the guys, and I'm trying to convince as many as I can to actually stay and at least wait it out until November, see what happens. But the morale's completely tanked. You know, and I ask your listeners to think about this. Every one of these guys and gals signed up to protect America, and they love their job, they love their country, and that's what they've been doing. Well, we talk about the gotaways, and we talk about how the cartel uses the illegal immigration to overwhelm law enforcement and then allow the narcotics and criminals to come in. But they see it. They're seeing it every single day. They're also talking to people that have been raped and abused on the way on their coming up here, and they know they could have prevented it. They know that there's child trafficking going on right in front of them, but they literally, because this administration has invited the world to come across our border illegally, don't have time to do deep dive interviews to try to figure out, you know, and break the story, if you will, or try to find cracks in the story between the adult and the kid to show that it's not really, there's no real relationship there. They have to see this stuff every single day. And then they go home because they're working all kinds of hours to their wives, their families, and have to explain why they're still missing birthdays, why they're still missing sporting events and family events. And used to, it was about, I'm protecting America. And I hear over and over again from the guys now and the gals, they're like, what do I tell my family? I feel like I'm part of the smuggling network. And I'm like, hey, you know what? Elections have consequences, but talk to your friends and neighbors, explain to them the real impact of an open border, and make sure people get out in November and vote, because we need to get our country back, but we also need experienced, dedicated patriots that know how to secure the border, ready to go when we get an administration back in that is actually pro-border security, pro-land.
Amen. Amen. Oh, that is a perfect point to finish on. My good buddy Rodney Scott, former or retired, should I say, Border Patrol Chief, National Border Patrol Chief. Rodney, thank you very, very much for taking time to be with us. It's great to have you on and get a perspective of what is going on at the border, particularly from an agent's point of view. I mean, we really need to see to hear that.
Well, thank you again for having me, George. I'll come back anytime that I can. Thanks for keeping us.
Thank you very, very much. We will reach out to you. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. And we've got our good friend, Mr. Mark Morgan, former immigration official under Trump. And I wanted to get him on because... yesterday, or should I say on Monday, April 8th, there was a news release from the White House where President Biden is actually, this is a statement that he's actually trying to analyze what he can do independently to address the border crisis, which kind of floored me. Mark, welcome to the show. Thank you for taking time to be with us, my friends.
George, thanks for having me. And, you know, early in the morning, you know how to just get me fired up right away, right?
Get that blood boiling.
Exactly.
What do you think of this comment, that he's thinking what he can do within his power?
Well, first of all, look, if you think about that, it's just if people just for a second can just listen to that with common sense, right? Put aside your politics and your ideology. So we're getting close to 3.5 years into the worst border disaster we've ever seen, George. The level of chaos and lawlessness has reached a magnitude we've never seen before. And 3.5 years into this, he's just now thinking about, hey, what can I do? I mean, it's preposterous. And I've got to believe the American people are not buying it. That's why you're seeing the polls, that border security is top of the polls, and most Americans are waking up and saying, hey, this has got to stop. But let's go to the next element, though. Here's another fact, right? And people, it's called Google. Look it up, right? You don't have to take my word for it. But in the first few weeks of his administration, he executed 94 executive orders, which basically destroyed and dismantled the network of tools and authorities that we had in place that had resulted to the most secure border in our lifetime. The flow of illegal immigration had been reduced by 85% by March of 2020. And let me give you just a couple of examples of what, through his pen, he stopped. The Safe Third Country agreements with all three Northern Triangle countries, the Remain in Mexico program. He reinstated catch and release. He stopped building the wall, which is an integral part of the multi-layer strategy of infrastructure, technology, and personnel. And I could keep going on. The bottom line is that he could use the same pen that he used to destroy all those elements I just talked about to reinstate them. He has that authority. He has the ability. He could use the same pen that he used to destroy the policies to reinstate the policies. And if he would reinstate just those few shorts that I talked about, you'd see this reduction of illegal immigration be reduced by 75% almost overnight.
And the number of criminals, I believe I heard that there were 8,000, over 8,000 that had been intercepted so far this fiscal year, since October?
Yep. Another great point. We don't talk about this enough. In the first 38 months of this administration, Border Patrol alone, I'm not including OFO, what they countered OFO at the ports of entry. Border Patrol alone has caught 47,000 criminal illegal aliens coming across our border. And to put that in perspective, that's a 99% increase from the criminals they caught from FY17 to FY20. Combined. And also in the same time period, 38 months, ICE has arrested 163,000 criminal illegal aliens in the United States, including 4,700 murderers and over 8,000 gang members. So don't tell me that border security doesn't matter, because it does. It's impacting every aspect of our nation's safety and national security. And this administration, George, is lying to the American people about the downstream effects of an open border.
That's incredible. I mean, the numbers are just staggering. Yep. Just about the criminals. Just the criminals.
It is. And George, look, we could literally do 2 hours just on the criminal side. I mean, how many more Lincoln Rileys do we need? How many more? And when Lincoln Riley was killed allegedly by illegal aliens, I got on. I think maybe you and I were talking. I said, she's not going to be the last. And of course, boom, Ruby Garcia, another a young, beautiful woman allegedly killed by an illegal alien. I mean, George, in Texas, in your great state of Texas, from 2011 to 2024, they arrested 300,000 criminal illegal aliens and charged them with 500,000 crimes. 500,000 crimes, including 950 homicides, 1,200 kidnappings, and over 65,000 assaults. When are we going to say enough is enough? Stop this madness and secure our borders.
The other thing is, and you, I know that you were a police officer in your younger days, the situation where we've got the open border meeting, the defund the police, the people, the illegal aliens in New York that were in that stash house or staying there, they were released by the DEA. They were released by the DEA the next day. I mean, or maybe even the same day. I mean, so what's how can we, you know, after they have shot a gun and after they've I mean, they have terrorized and everybody. Incredible.
Yeah, George, look, this is the part where I don't get it. And this is where I get into this. This transcends politics. This is about ideology. And I think what happens is when individuals are solely driven by their ideology, it takes really good intellectual people and it makes them stupid, right? It makes them ignorant of the truth, reality, and fact, and devoid of all common sense. Think about this. So you have someone, and regardless of what AOC says, entering the country in between the ports of entry is a crime. It doesn't matter if you claim asylum afterwards, right? That act is a criminal act. So I think that's important, though, because these individuals, their first contact with this country is to commit a crime. And then they're taught that you can do that and there's zero consequences, right? So that's the first failure. We're releasing criminals in our country. The second one is that we have sanctuary cities, that here they are in the country illegally.
then they commit another crime. And you have jurisdictions, you have individuals that hold office that say, you know what, we're not going to work with our federal law enforcement officials. We're going to let somebody that's in the country illegally, that has committed another crime, victimize an American citizen, we're going to release them back to the community to reoffend. That's exactly what happened to Lake and Riley. And look, you don't go, and the stats will show this, you don't go from being a petty thief to savagely murdering somebody. It doesn't happen that way. And what pisses me off, George, is that with these individuals, we're coming and we're apprehending them, and we're told that we're properly vetting these individuals. That's a lie. They're not vetting them. I mean, think about this. Somebody coming from Haiti, you think Mr. Barbecue, the leader of the rebellion, that we're working with him and he's providing us a criminal background on single adult Haitian males that are coming across? No, it's not happening. It makes no sense what we're doing.
Yeah, it is. You know, the number of people that are coming across that have criminal backgrounds that we have no idea about because the records are not kept, it's another headache that we've gotten.
It is, George. Look, even those countries that we have diplomatic relationships with, the challenge is, as you just stated, is oftentimes those country databases, they're unsophisticated and they're archaic. So even though they're trying, they're still providing us incomplete data, but yet we're still processing and releasing these people in the United States. Oftentimes, we're not even able to confirm their name or their identity, let alone what their criminal background is, their history. But again, we could talk for 2 hours. Remember last year, the Pennsylvania fugitive, he had illegally entered the country. He killed a woman here, was sent to prison, escaped. Oh, and guess what? Why did he into the United States? Because he was fleeing a murder charge from his home country in Brazil. I mean, George, the border security is just common sense. There's no downside to securing our border and forcing people to come to our country legally.
And yeah, fleeing justice in your country, I guess, is a form of asylum here in the United States.
That's exactly right.
Incredible. Let me ask you this last question about,
sure,
because the amount of fentanyl now that's coming across in Arizona is staggering, absolutely staggering. I believe there was something like a million pills caught yesterday or something like that.
Yep. So let me, a couple things. I really need to give a shout out to the CBP officers that are manning reports of entry, because a lot of people don't understand just how sophisticated the cartels are. They are constantly changing what we call their TTPs, their tactics, techniques, and procedures, and coming up with creative, innovative ways of how to hide drugs and coming across the ports of entry. And those officers, they're second to none. They're doing an incredible job. But the problem is, look, they're overwhelmed because we have illegal aliens come to our ports of entry as well, because this administration, through the CBP1 app, has just told illegal aliens, hey, do us a favor. If you refrain from illegally entering in between the ports of entry, we'll let you come to a port of entry process and release you. So the same thing. So those limited resources have been taken off of their frontline safety and national security mission as well to process an unprecedented number of illegal aliens. But here's the other issue. This is what we say all the time. This is another reason why illegal immigration is not a victimless crime. When they come in between the ports of entry, Border Patrol responds. It takes them offline. It takes them away from their law enforcement national security mission as they're processing millions of illegal aliens. What happens? We literally hand operational control over the cartels. The border's left wide open so they can push a multitude of threats across, including drugs. And how do we know that? Well, last year we had 112,000 Americans die from drug overdose and fentanyl poisoning. And every single day, there are law enforcement agencies in the United States that are seizing drugs. And what's that tell us? That they're getting by us on the front lines.
Wow. Amazing. It is really, really just overwhelming what is going on at the border still. And the media tries to tell us that it's slowing down.
George, I can't. I know we got to go, but look, think about this. So we become numb. We're at like 5,000 along the southwest border every day now, 5,000. And it doesn't get reported. It doesn't get reported, right? It's because we were used to 10,000 a day. It's like you know, inflation goes up by 5 points and then it goes down by 2, and everybody and the administration's claiming victory. I'm like, no, it's still like 3.5 points higher than when you took over. And the same thing with the numbers. I promise anybody listening, 5,000 a day coming to our southwest border, it is chaos. 5,000 is lawlessness and chaos. It's a broken arrow. Our system is overwhelmed. The border's open, and the cartels are taking advantage of it every day.
It really, we've normalized illegal immigration.
Yeah.
That's right. That's a great word. I just wrote that down. I think that's right. We've normalized illegal immigration, and we've normalized that 5,000 a day is okay because it's down from 10,000. That's absurd.
Jeez, that's incredible. That really is. It's like the people that tell us, well, you know, that crime would happen even if it wasn't illegal. It was not illegal aliens.
Exactly. But what a stupid comment. That's just ridiculous. You know, because look, there's a lot of crime. I'm not saying we can prevent every crime and all crime, but I do know a certain demographic of crime we can prevent, committed by those that we should have never released in the country. That we can prevent.
Amen to that. Mark, thank you very, very much, as usual, to be with us. I would love to get you on all the time. You're great to talk to. Folks, we've been speaking with former immigration official Mark Morgan. Mark, you hang in there, and we'll have you back on again sometime real soon.
All right, brother. Thanks, George. Take care.
Once again, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. Folks, once again, thank you very much for joining us today. I want to thank our guests, Dr. Jeffrey Atticott from St. Mary's University, former Congressman Francisco Kiko Canseco, Rodney Scott, former National Border Patrol Chief, and Mr. Mark Morgan, former Customs and Border Protection Commissioner. I want to thank these gentlemen for joining us today. I also want to thank you for joining us. Hopefully, you'll join us again next week when we'll have another powerful program. Tell it like it is, my friends. No bones about it. I want to also thank our sponsor, the Federation for American Immigration Reform. You can find out all you can about FAIR at fairus.org. They are the premier organization regarding the issue of what is happening at the border, as well as what is important with the politics in Washington, D.C. So, my friends, once again, thank you very much for joining us. Join us again next week. Support us. Tell your friends about us. Please spread the word. We need to inform and educate people about the border crisis, both in there at the border, as well as what is happening in their own backyard. Until next time, my friends, this is George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. Till next time.
The Federation for American Immigration Reform, known as FAIR, fights to restore common sense border controls and immigration policies that work for America and its future. America's immigration system and border controls have been decimated by Washington politicians and special interests, undermining the interests and security of the American people. FAIR mobilizes grassroots activists to make sure the voices of the American people are heard in Washington. Find out more about FAIR and what we do by going to fairus.org.